Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dan Strafford along with you, George Kurtz here momentarily to get you started for week number 12 in the National Football League. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thanksgiving weekend. We'll look back at Turkey Day. Hope you are still enjoying some of those leftovers. We had some good pie for breakfast yesterday morning. Don't know if we'll go back to that well today. George, how was your Thanksgiving? You ready for week number 12?
Well, funny you should mention pie for breakfast. I actually just had pie for breakfast as I didn't
there
have
it is.
Didn't have enough time to make the turkey. But pie. I had to settle for pie. Settle for pie. Shame. Listen, Dan, my Thanksgiving was good. I'm a Cowboy fan, Dan. So, good turkey day for me.
There you have it. Look back at the games and the Saints-Falcons, I think, disappointed most when you talk from a daily fantasy perspective. You had sort of the most Julio Jones of Julio Jones outings, 11 receptions, 147 yards, but you still felt like it wasn't enough. You had the Cowboys beating the Redskins 31-23 with a nice outing by Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott doing his work, and Amari Cooper seemingly being another reject from Oakland that will wreak havoc on John Gruden over the next few years if he can get this sort of volume going with the Cowboys. And the Bears-Lions was a good game with the Bears coming away really with a stranglehold on the NFC North, 8-3, 23-16 win. Any takeaways from those games, any fantasy implications or fantasy reactions from those three contests back on Thanksgiving?
Well, the first game, I think we just wanted, could Chase Daniels get the job done? And he did what a backup should do. Didn't lose the game. I wouldn't say he won the game, but he didn't lose the game for the Bears. We knew the Lions were going to struggle. No Kerryon Johnson. No Marvin Jones. Golden Tate was traded. They were going to have a hard time moving the ball, and they did. They did stay in the game for a while. Congratulations to them. If not for that pick six, hey, maybe things turn out differently. But I don't think we were surprised by that game. The Dallas game, it was sort of Colt McCoy. What can he do? And, yeah, he threw three picks, but, he wasn't all that bad. The difference in the game was Dallas finally decided to throw the ball over the middle into the secondary, and Cooper broke two long plays. That's on the secondary. Both plays, what, one cornerback fell down, the other one, three guys surrounding Cooper, but none want to tackle him. And he's going off for 90. So I think that's really the difference in that game here. The night game, I don't think, was a surprise. Not at all. Atlanta's not that good a team. Injuries have really decimated that defense. And it doesn't take all that much. And then the turnovers in the red zone over and over and over again. Yeah, you're not going to win that way.
Was a game that, of what could have been, I'm sure, for Atlanta. Don't know that they would have even hung with New Orleans if they scored more, right? I think you would have seen Breeze just sort of hit the gas a little bit more and put up 38 or 45 or whatever he needed to on this game to get it done. But those turnovers in the red zone were just absolute killers, especially for those of you out there playing daily fantasy or sweating out some season-long runs towards the playoffs. Maybe you had a Julio Jones or you had a Ridley or just terrible, terrible plays. Good job by the New Orleans defense, which seems to be back to end of season last year, George. We had the start of this season. The Saints defense looked like it was regressing to what we saw from them two or three years ago. End of last year, they were a very solid defense, very good in coverage. And it seems as though we're getting into a mode here where this New Orleans Saints team, it's going to be really damn dangerous in the playoffs and could be the NFC favorite when all is said and done, just from a standpoint of their offense can do pretty much whatever they want to do and the defense really rounding into form. Do you think the Saints are top tier right now and a potential run to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think they have a team to beat, especially in the NFC. Rams are a good team, but they can't stop anybody. They have all the name players, You know, Aaron Donald, Dominican Sue, Marcus Peters, Keith. I mean, they have all the name players, but they can't stop anybody. All season long, it's been like this. You know, and people think when Tlaib comes back, he's going to fix everything. Okay. He was there part of the season before it all broke down. So I don't know if I'm going to buy that. But the Saints, I think you're correct. Their defense was bad in the beginning. It's fixed itself. And I think you're 100% correct. Breeze sort of took Thursday night off. I don't really need to do anything. We're going to win this game here. I'll just do what I have to do.
Georgie, completed touchdown passes to, wait, I need to look these up. Dan Arnold, and I swear to whomever you believe in a religious sense, when I saw Dan Arnold, I thought of the Roseanne show because I combined Tom Arnold and Dan Connor and thought of the character from Roseanne. I was like, wait, he plays football? This is absurd. You had Tommy Lee Lewis, who's what, the third best Tommy Lee? You have Jones, you have Tommy Lee himself, and then you have Tommy Lee Lewis with the touchdown. And Austin Carr. What? No Kamara, no Watson, no Thomas. I know Watson dropped a ball that probably should have been a touchdown heading into the end zone. But what a crazy, crazy output for Drew Brees to find. It felt as though, George, it was one of those moments where he's like, you know what? I'm going to get the other guys involved. Let's see what we can do today. Oh, and Keith Kirkwood, too. I forgot about Kirkwood. So pretty impressive by Brees to just absolutely spread the ball around here.
Yeah, and it was like some people are really not saying it's Brady, that it's Peyton. He wants to prove how much smarter he is than everybody else, and that's why he's using all these guys that are unknowns. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I think Breeze has now completed touchdown passes to 13 different receivers this year. And wow. I imagine it'll be 14 eventually when Brandon Marshall gets in there. He'll get one before the end of the season. So it shows you something. You know, Breeze is having a terrific season, MVP-type season. Wouldn't shock me if he wins it again. And I do think the Saints are a team to beat.
Yeah, I saw a couple of books move him to the top of the heap when it came to MVP voting. I know Mahomes was sort of the early season darling, but things have changed, and you have this Saints team really charging forward. As George said and I said, the team to beat, at least out of the NFC, there's going to be a lot of offense in the playoffs. We know that, and I know we're going to hear defense wins championships. I think what's going to win championships this year is a semblance of defense. Like anyone who can play a tiny bit of defense and stop the other team once or twice, make them punt twice out of all their possessions, that's going to win it. Do you see a defense, George, out there that I don't think the Ravens are going to make a run in the playoffs? Do you see anybody defense-wise that you think has an opportunity? Maybe it's the Saints. Maybe it is the Saints. Maybe they are the defensive team that we've been waiting for.
Well, you look at the NFC, I think it is the Saints. The Bears, do the Bears have enough offense to really compete with these teams? I don't know that they do. I don't know if anybody can go into that dome and beat the Saints. I think it's a huge problem in the NFC. You know, so that's going to be an issue as well. Can anybody go into that dome and play with that crowd, that noise on that field, that turf, and beat them? I don't know. You know, I guess if you're a Cowboy fan, which I am, we'll find out what they can do on Thursday night, and I think they're going to get their ass kicked. You know, I don't think Drew Brees is going to have much problem going through Dallas. Carolina, Minnesota, I guess they'd have a shot. You know, I think it has been good at times, but no, I don't see anybody. You want to go into the Super Bowl for the look at the AFC. No, I don't think the Chiefs can do it. Are we looking at Pittsburgh? I mean, once we're looking at some semblance of the defense of the team that can put up points. So I think Pittsburgh, maybe. I don't think the Patriots are that team this year. I just don't think they are. Other than that, right. You mentioned Baltimore. Yeah, they have a 6 seed right now, but I don't see it. Chargers? I guess once again, maybe, but so many injuries there. It's going to be difficult. That's the bottom line. It's going to be difficult. Maybe the Saints, you want to go with the old peak too early theory? You know, but you could say that about the Chiefs and Rams too. They're all peaking too early. You know, I don't know if that's going to make a difference either. It's going to be difficult because right now the Saints look like they have, I guess if we're looking for a combination of everything, offense and defense, the Saints look like they have it. But maybe, hey, you know, injuries, it's 5 more weeks left. Maybe the injuries will hurt that defense. Who knows? It should be fun, though. But I think the problem is not only do you need to play defense, Dan, but I think you need to score points, too. You can't just be a good defensive team nowadays. The game is not built that way. They want these teams to score points.
Absolutely. We are going to go game by game here in week number 12. Make sure all your start and sits are answered. We'll open up the phone lines in hour number 2, the second segment. Until then, you can always tweet at us at FNTSY Radio. Of course, if you want to include at Dan Stravert, at George Kurtz in that tweet, I'd be happy to converse with you throughout the show over there on Twitter. When you are told, the phone lines are open. The phone number is 844-843-6879. Looking across week 12, George, and sort of a high-level macro view, if you will, looks like a pretty crappy week of NFL football. We've had struggles. We've had some matchups that have been bad, and we've talked through them. But I don't know that there's a – other than, obviously, I'm a Jets fan, so the Jets-Pats, I don't have faith that the Jets are going to be in this one, but I think the Jets can at least keep it closer than people might think. I see the line now down to -10.5 off of 7.5 to start. I think that might be, I guess, is that off Darnold news? Maybe they thought Darnold might start, but I think McCown's better than Darnold right now. But either way, I think that game might stay closer. Is there a game or games that you're actually looking forward to watching? I feel like they all happened on Thanksgiving.
It's not a great week of football, a weekend, I guess, of football. I mean, listen, I'm an NFC East guy, so with Giants and Eagles, there's some interest here. I mean, it does. I still think the Eagles have the best chance to win that division if they can win this weekend. They play the Redskins next week. I mentioned Dallas, I think, loses Thursday night. So if the Eagles win, think about it. Eagles beat the Giants this week and the Redskins next week, they're in first place, assuming Dallas loses to New Orleans Thursday night. Yeah, it is insane, but that's the way I expect it to be. Seattle, Carolina might be your best sort of playoff game. Seattle's not in a playoff spot right now, but they're just on the fringes, just on the outside. Yeah, Carolina is the first wild card, so that's a decent game. Other than that, from a day games, no. There's nothing else that really matters all that much. It is a bad day of football. And I wonder if we're going to get into this more and more in the next couple of years, Dan, as more teams, I don't want to say are tanking, but don't mind losing. Because they want to get those top picks. Sort of what we've seen in baseball now over the past decade. You know, the Astros, Cubs, teams that have lost year after year after year because they want to get those top picks and build your team up that way. We're seeing that with the Raiders this year, right? They traded everybody they could think of. And now all these other trades, a lot of it was the same thing. We're not going to make the playoffs. We'll trade away our players. And I wonder if we're going to see a lot more of this now. We're going to see a lot of bad Sundays, especially with the Thursday game, the Sunday night game, the Monday game. They want those games to be their marquee games. They're flexing out the Sunday night games much earlier now to get a good game on Sunday night. So we lose that. So I wonder if we're going to see more and more of this over the next few years.
That's a really good point that I had not thought about, that we're spreading these games out more and more. As we come into December, you start to get Saturday games, you get Sunday night, you get Monday night, you get Thursday. That's all going to be a scheduling nightmare if these teams are tanking. And so your Sunday 1 p.m. games are going to be a bunch of, you know, 10, 12, 15-point spreads with teams that are looking towards the playoffs and teams that are honestly trying to build up as many draft picks as they can for the next 2 years. So it'll be intriguing to see how the schedule makers make it all work and whether or not the product on the field suffers. And that's also, you get to a point of player safety, right? You get to a point of if a team is running out second-tier, even third-tier athletes comparatively to starters from other squads, That becomes an issue. That becomes a real potential safety issue, and one where the coaches of the teams that are big favorites may not play their starters. And we may get sort of week two of the preseason matchups where it's just a bunch of backups out there. And I assume that will turn a lot of people off from watching the NFL in December. But all that really just hypotheticals on where this could go as the season rolls on. Lots to talk about here. We're going to go game by game, go with some wagering talk on each and every game and some DFS. As always, at the end of the show, at the bottom of the hour, in the second hour, around 9:30 through to 10 o'clock, we'll talk some wagering. We'll talk about DFS lineups and then give way to college football today at 10 a.m. Eastern, bringing you up to all the great college football matchups today. Obviously, rivalry week there. We'll get a lot in the way of college football playoffs and what could come from there. Let's dive in to our first matchup here. And you mentioned Seattle and Carolina. It looks like as good a place to start as any with a -3.5 favorite for the Carolina Panthers. 46.5 over under. Implied total of 25 for Carolina, 21.5 for the Seattle Seahawks. This will be dubbed as a matchup of Russell Wilson versus Cam Newton. It will be looked at on that lens and pretty much that lens alone by a lot of people. But you have news out, George, that Doug Baldwin I don't know if you know this, but he's injured again. And it's coming to a point now where some drafted him as a wide receiver one. They thought that in this offense, he was going to be the focal point and one that you could trust each and every week in Seattle. But he is now a game time decision with a groin injury. How are you playing this? Is this just if Baldwin goes, you're going with them? Or do you think this is enough of an injury and enough of a matchup that you'll stay away from Baldwin season long?
This is frustrating. That's what it is. It's frustrating. Because once again, just when we thought he was healthy, just when he was starting to play well, he was targeted in the end zone 3 or 4 times against Green Bay last game, and now he's hurt again. You know, so it's frustrating. If I'm a Bolton, and I'm not a Bolton owner in any league, but if I was, I'd be extremely frustrated. I mean, really frustrated right now. Am I starting him automatically? Well, I want to, but no. It'll depend on what else is on my roster here. I'm probably leaning the other way. Because we saw earlier in this year when he was hurt, he just wasn't all that valuable. He wasn't using the offense all that much. He was more of a decoy. Maybe he is again. We don't know. You know, you just don't know right now. So for me, Dan, it purely comes down to what else is on my roster here. What else do I have here? I'm leaning to go to another direction here. I've seen this movie before. It wasn't good. So I don't want to fall into the same mistake here.
Lots to break down in this game. Both defenses have been potentially getting by on a little bit of their history when it comes to figuring out exactly how good they are. But there's no more Legion of Boom, but a decent defense there for Seattle. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. Break down this contest and all the rest of the 1 o'clock. Make sure you guys are all set for week number 12. In your fantasy football seasons, we'll talk some daily fantasy as well. Dan Strafford, George Kurtz, it's Fantasy Sports Today. We're coming back on the other side of this break on Fantasy Sports Radio.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today. No Mr. Jones here in this contest, but we can count Panthers and Seahawks, I suppose. Not crows, but birds in and of the one of them, of themselves. Anyway, George, let's continue on here talking Seattle and Carolina. The rest of this contest, you have McCaffrey and Newton, obviously, for Carolina as their main 1-2. Russell Wilson at 5,600 on DK is an intriguing play against Carolina. I don't know who you're pairing him with. I guess you talk maybe Lockett, I guess, would be the guy you'd go to if Baldwin doesn't go. How does this contest break down for you? Who are some of your favorite plays, and where do you lean on guys that you may sit in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Seattle, I think it's going to be a run-heavy game again. So Chris Carson's going to be the guy you want to go with. Also, all three running backs are playing well, Carson, Davis, and Penny. And as far as the order of starting him, it's that order, Carson, Davis, Penny. Carson's really the only guy you want. Davis would be more of a backup handcuff type right now. And Penny, you know, it's a little too late to show he could play football. As for the season is concerned anyway there. Russell Wilson has been running the past couple of weeks, so that's good news. Now they're using his legs again fantasy-wise. But I think, like I said, you know, we saw in Detroit, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago when they played the Lions. You know, Russell Wilson had 3 touchdown passes. Looked great. That's because he was 17 of 18. They're not throwing the ball that much. I mean, they've become a run team. Run first, throw second. I think you'll see a lot of that tomorrow for Seattle. Carolina's going to be a lot of Cam. Right? Seattle has actually been much better against the pass than against the run. So I think it'll be a lot of running here, too. Maybe with Cam in his legs, Christian McCaffrey. Funchess is also more than likely out tomorrow, so you're not starting him. I do have some DJ Moore shares. You know, I wonder if he could be a big play tomorrow. He had the monster game last week. So I wonder what, he'll be the number one receiver tomorrow. I wonder if he's going once again going to be a big play here. Short pass to Greg Olsen as well. But Olsen at this point, if he catches a touchdown, he has a good fantasy day. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Because he's old, slow, and plodding right now. You know, he's going to get a lot of, you know, one catch for 4 yards. Because we get seven catches for 28 yards, that kind of guy. He's not going to be breaking anything open over the middle. You need that touchdown from Olsen.
It is such a touchdown-dependent position, tight end on the year. Pretty crazy to see how far that position has fallen off. And I know in the past it's been a lot of top-heavy plays, but it just feels like an absolute void. And you throw how bad Gronkowski has been with the injuries and with just simply the ability to stay on the field. And the target share. It's been a up and down year for Gronkowski. Week one was an amazing week for him. And since then, you've had a lot of more misses than hits, that's for sure. But we'll get to New England and the Jets in a little bit. Let's keep rolling along here and talk some Cleveland and Cincinnati. Now, this is a matchup that I'm keying in on a bit from a daily fantasy perspective. I don't know if it's fully because of the change in offensive coordinator. I don't know if it's a situation where maybe I'm overvaluing a little bit of what Baker Mayfield is doing. But in the two games since Freddie Kitchens has started calling plays, Mayfield is 46 of 62, 625 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 pick. But the biggest thing that I would like to point out is that just 2 sacks. Over those two games as well. So you're getting him maybe a cleaner pocket, maybe faster decision-making, better routes run, whatever it might be. It seems as though Baker Mayfield is starting to get back to what we saw, that sort of swagger in the first game he had out there. They had dropped off considerably after that. And this Cincinnati team isn't one I necessarily fear from a defensive perspective. They have some pieces that I think are fine, but overall they rank 30th in rush defense and 18th in pass defense, according to DVOA over there on Football Outsiders. Is this a week you're buying Baker Mayfield, George, as a potential top 12 quarterback?
No, it's only 2 teams on by, Mahomes and Goff out. So to put him in top 12 means you're taking out some pretty good quarterbacks. I mean, so I don't know if I can buy him there. And I don't, not that I have him all that far out, but, you know, Newton, Luck, Rogers, Cousins, Winston, Rivers, Wilson still, Brady still, Ben still, Wentz, Watson. You know, that's already 12 right there that I've named. So who do you want to take out there? And are we automatically putting him above Lamar Jackson? How about Nick Mullins against Tampa Bay? So there, Eli Manning against Philadelphia is down there top 5 cornerbacks. Are we putting him against him? You know, there are a lot of quarterbacks. The NFL is a quarterback, as far as fantasy is concerned, is quarterback deep. Yes, Winston sucks as an NFL quarterback. But as a fantasy one, he's damn good. You know, there's several others that are like that as well. So to say that he's going to crack that top 12, he could. I'm not saying he won't, but there's a lot of guys. So I'll hedge my money and say he won't there. That being said, he's certainly in consideration. I mean, like I said, I'm not saying no way am I starting him over Eli Manning. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But I'm saying it's a conversation. You know, Mayfield and Mullins, conversation. Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, conversation. I don't think it's cut and dry that you're putting him over. That being said, I agree with you about the offensive coordinator. You also, Duke Johnson's gotten more involved, right? Landry, not as much. You know, well, that's really been an all-season thing, and maybe we should have known that coming in, that he wouldn't have the same numbers that he had with Miami. Some more choices there. But they're coming off a bye now, so maybe that'll change things as well. You know, another week to learn the system. It's looking brighter for Mayfield. I think he can throw the ball. That being said, although I agree with you once again that Cincinnati is not the greatest defense on the planet, I'm still not going to have him in my top 12.
All right. I respect and can see it is. I forgot all about the Nick Mullins matchup, and that's going to be a fun one to talk about in a little while. Let's talk about the rest of the Cleveland Browns. You mentioned Jarvis Landry. You have Njoku here as well. You know, this is an offense that has gotten better, but sort of their two main stars or plays from a DFS perspective have regressed a bit. Target share and routes run have both dropped back for both of those. You'd mentioned Duke Johnson. You're seeing some other pieces for the Cleveland Browns emerging as well as potential plays. You have somebody like Breshad Perriman now in Cleveland, Callaway, Rashard Higgins are all sort of mixing in targets. I know that over the past 2 weeks, Duke Johnson has led in targets in this Cleveland offense with 13 in the past 2 weeks. Are there offensive pieces here that you think have some upside and should be in people's lineups, or are you fading the Cleveland offense overall and hoping that you have other pieces to plug in?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to say I'm going to fade them overall. Njoku is questionable, but they say he will play. So I'm not all that worried about that. I think he's going to go there. Landry's still going to be in my starting lineup. I understand the numbers of late have been, you know, blah, so-so, but I kind of find it hard to believe you have three other receivers better than him in a flex. So if you do, hey, God bless you. But I'm going to doubt that somewhat. So he's still going to be in my lineup. It's really anybody else. Duke Johnson. Nick Chubb's a starter for me. He's a running back one. So you're starting Duke Johnson. You're starting Duke Johnson. They have used him more, once again, since the change, since Haley's out of there. So I'm tempted to. I think he's in that flex play consideration in PPR leagues here. So I am looking at Duke there. Callaway's, Higgins, Perriman, they're all more than likely knows for me. Hey, maybe you're stacked with Rams wide receivers and you have no choice here. But in most leagues, I'll be staying away from those guys. It'll be Chubb, Landry, Njoku's a probability for me.
Let's look at the other side. The Cincinnati Bengals, we get word that A.J. Green is now questionable. Now, last week he came in, I think, with a doubtful tag, has been upgraded to questionable with this toe injury. If he does go, obviously you're getting him into your lineups, wide receiver one, that, or at least you drafted him as a wide receiver one, an upside with Andy Dalton. Maybe Dalton gets some positive momentum with Green back in the lineup. I just don't know if he'll be in there. This seems like one of those slow plays when it comes to an injury that would keep hearing week over week. He's getting closer and people get excited and then he doesn't play. But one, how are you working with the AJ Green injury and potential playing here? And what about some pieces from the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, I mean, odds are if he's playing, if he does start, I don't think he will, but if he does start, you're probably starting for your fantasy team. You know, once again, you'd have to be pretty deep not to. But he scares me. I have him in one league, my home league, and you know, I took him out of my lineup right now. Yeah, I don't think he is going to play tomorrow. Originally, it was supposed to, we heard what it was, a 2 week injury. Then he's going to be out till December, and now it's going to be a 1 week. He's going to be back. I don't know if I was buying that. You know, so I think the fact that he hasn't practiced, what we've heard, if he has a great practice today, he'll be in there. You know, what's a walkthrough today? How great can you possibly have? So I don't think he's going to play tomorrow. But I'll say it once again. For me, it comes down to if Green doesn't play, I would be using his backup, Ross. You know, or if he does play, I should say. So I'll probably go with Green there. Ross with Green in there is not too, all that valuable. I like Ross much better if Green is out. So that's why I would use Green. But you may have better options on your fantasy team. You know, for some people, it may be Green or DJ Moore. You know, in that case, I might go DJ Moore. I don't think Green's going to be a big asset tomorrow if he does play, or I'm not even sure he'll finish the game. I don't think he's over this injury. As a Green owner, unless you're desperate and you need to win tomorrow, I think you're hoping to give him another week off. Let's get him completely healthy for next week. That's what I'm leaning with here, Sarah. So, listen, if he starts for the Bengals, I understand you're probably starting him, but I think you're better off if he's just out and gets healthy for next week.
Makes sense to me. How about the rest of the pieces here? Joe Mixon, Andy Dalton, anybody here that you think from a daily fantasy or from a season-long perspective will be in line for big weeks, or you have concern overall for this Cincinnati offense?
Well, once again, Dalton's a streaming play because of the Browns, not the greatest defense on the planet. Mixon's a start automatically. Boyd's a start. CJ Uzomah is once again a top 12 tight end. Pretty much any healthy tight end is a top 12 tight end right now. And if you're breathing, you're probably top 12. I mentioned Ross. I only want to start if Green is out. Then I will like him. I think he could do some damage tomorrow. And once again, you get Giovanni Bernard, who I'm more leaning no than yes. Once again, it comes down to what else, how desperate you are for a running back here in PPR leagues. You're certainly not starting him in standard leagues. Could I see him in a flex if if you did happen to get killed by the Chiefs and Rams being on bye? Sure, I can see it, but he's not somebody I want to put in my lineup.
The game has a -2.5 favorite for the home Bengals, 24.25 implied total for Cincinnati, 21.75 for the Browns. It sits at a live 46 over under. Any interest in any of those numbers as potential wagers here? Feels like a bit of a mess of stat line here numbers wise, but anything stick out to you for potential wagers?
if I was going to put a wager on this game, it'd be on the Bengals side. It's in Cincinnati. It's an important game for the Bengals. Right? They want to have their – they want to make the playoffs. They got to win this game. This is not a game you can lose. It's just not. So that's why I would go with the Bengals there, because I think, once again, it's more important to them than it is Cleveland. Cleveland's coming off a bye. I don't think Cleveland's a terrible team. But I got to go Cincinnati here. You mentioned -2.5. I'll give away with 2.5. The over-under seems a little high to me. But that being said, not high enough where I'm thinking about taking the under. You know, this does smell like a 24-21 game somewhere around there. So I think it's about right. And I don't think I'll be touching the over-under. But I do like the Bengals only because, once again, I just think the game is more important to them.
Yep. I think that's right. And we've talked about it many times over on this show that taking the under is largely not fun. it's largely not an enjoyable experience simply because you're waiting for that final whistle, and it would need to be a drastically inflated line to be comfortable going there. I think I've gotten one right all year when betting the actual under on these lines. It's just difficult, especially in today's NFL where offense is king. Even some of these bad teams, penalties are called, turnovers, all these things can happen that can really change the dynamics pretty quickly. So I agree completely with you, George, at the 46, even at 46, so opened at 47.5, and I thought it was definitely inflated. But the 46 feels high, but not high enough where I'm ready to sweat out a Bengals-Browns game on the last weekend of November. But let's talk next. What game can we go to? Let's go to one that could very well be pretty ugly. Jacksonville and Buffalo. A game that I really don't know what to make of, other than, you want to talk about an over-under. Currently sits at 37. 37. This is modern-day NFL football. This isn't 1997. This isn't 2002. This is 2018 line, 37 points between Jacksonville and Buffalo. And we're getting Josh Allen back. So Buffalo has Josh Allen, who's coming back from the shoulder, elbow injury. He will start against this Jaguars defense that we've talked about many times over on the year, George. A bit enigmatic. We're not really sure which defense is going to show up. They rank 7th against the pass over on Football Outsider, 8th against the run. But they've also had some rough goes this year where they've given up more than they should and not been able to hold enough together for the offense. How does this one break down for you? Is it one that you'll have on that small third TV, or do you think this is one you'll ignore largely on Sunday?
Well, it's one of the 1 o'clock games, so it won't be a standalone game, thankfully. This will be one of the ones where on the TV where I like to switch games and watch all the 1 o'clock games. I won't be watching this one all that much. I mean, really, what are you watching here? Buffalo, you only have LeSean McCoy. It's the only guy you're thinking about starting here. In Jacksonville, okay, Leonard Fournette, be nice to watch there. Maybe have a little D.D. Westbrook. Maybe. I hope not, but maybe. Other than that, that's it. You know, it's the old naked gun here. Nothing to see here. Move along. Nothing to see here. Yeah, you want to see McCoy? You want to see Fournette? Fine. That's it. That's all I'm watching. Bortles is terrible. You know, he just is. I thought the Jaguars made a mistake when they kept him. Said it many times in all these shows and writing and everything else. So it's not second guessing. This is first guessing. I said it. I don't like him. I thought they made a huge mistake in not going out and getting one of the quarterbacks that was out there. Not that I was in love with Cousins or Keenum or anything like that, but Bortles wasn't going to get you where you wanted to go. You know, and then the defense now has played poorly. I don't know what happened in the last 6 minutes of that Pittsburgh game last week. That was just strange. That was literally just, okay, we're done. We played 54 minutes. We're done. We're not going to play anymore. And they fell apart. That was their last hurrah this season. So as much as I want to say that Jacksonville defense smells like a great start tomorrow, it also smells. Because what if they just don't care? You know, they just don't care. You know, and they know their season's over. They're all ticked off and mad at each other, and they've given up. I'm still starting them, mind you, if I had them. But I don't know. It's been a bad season in Jacksonville. I mean, it's been a really bad season here. So like I said, fantasy-wise, it's Fournette, McCoy, and I'm not even thrilled about starting McCoy, by the way. But you probably, more than likely, you don't have much of a choice here. Maybe you do. But you're probably starting him. You're starting Fournette. Other than that, there's nothing else I want to go with here.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the low 40s, so not as cold as it could have been in Buffalo. I know temperatures up here in Massachusetts dipped down to the 20s on Thanksgiving. I think they were similar in Buffalo, if not even colder, but warming up a bit.
I'd have more interest if it snowed.
Yep, Yeah, exactly. That's fun, then. You do have Fournette, obviously. You can talk about him in Daily Fantasy as well as a potential option as you look through this game. If you're trying to get a little bit off the grid, go to a game that very few people will be on. It just looks like a bad matchup. The over-under says it all. And again, it's not as if we're saying there are two great defenses here. Like, that's the thing. This isn't two great defenses and mid-tier offenses where the defense are going to run the day. These are just two really bad offenses. Blake Bortles is a mess. And we don't know what we're going to get from Josh Allen. We don't know, coming back from an elbow injury, dealing with the situation there, with the lack of talent in Buffalo. It's a rough one. So plenty still to talk to here on Fantasy Sports Day. Dan Traver, George Kurtz. The one song that used to get my daughter to sleep, American Girl. Sean Angle on the ones and twos, producing us behind the glass. Appreciate him as always. Don't forget, at FNTSY Radio on Twitter. And we'll have the phone lines open in the second hour. Come back with more after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Dan Strafford, George Kurtz back with you here on Fantasy Sports Today, the Saturday morning edition. As always, don't forget, you find George here all weekend long. Find him on Sunday doing some second half of the day analysis and updates. Don't forget also, want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Try DailyRoto.com for free this Thanksgiving. That's right, free advice from fantasy millionaires, free daily fantasy projections, and free access to everything you need to dominate NFL DFS this Thanksgiving weekend. Don't be a turkey. Head over to DailyRoto.com and enter the promo code TG18, so TG18, to access your free 5-day trial. That's DailyRoto.com, promo code TG18. Check out what Drew Dinkmeyer, Michael Leone, and the rest of the crew over there are doing each and every week. Good guys in the DFS industry, worth checking them out. Let's continue on here, George. Anything else from that Jacksonville Buffalo game? Are you ready to forget that was even on the slate?
Oh God, I can easily forget the game. I mean, yeah. I'm not watching that game at all tomorrow. Really, that's a blah. I wish it was snowing. If it was snowing, I'd have some interest in it. It'd be fun to watch. Maybe like last year's Buffalo Indianapolis game. That'd be fun. Other than that, that's here. It's 7:07. No, we'll just skip to 7:08.
Let's continue on. We'll go to what could be an intriguing matchup for some fantasy analysts, where you have Baltimore hosting the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders coming off a win, which I don't know what they were thinking there, but a win over the Arizona Cardinals. And you have Baltimore and the Lamar Jackson experience. So they won last week, and they won a very hard-nosed game. Jackson threw the ball limited amounts of times. They went really with the RPO, but basically the R part of the RPO, the run pass option. Yeah, Lamar Jackson, you had none other than, everybody had this pegged, Gus Edwards emerging for the Baltimore Ravens. To be fair, he was a very good back in preseason, and we've heard very good things of him coming out of practice. The backfield there with Ty Montgomery and Buck Allen, Alex Collins, wasn't really getting it done. Gus Edwards also, I have to admit here, finished his college career at the alma mater of myself, Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, so near and dear to my heart. Another Rutgers player that I can lose money on, which is always a good thing. Do you think, George, that Baltimore throws the ball more this week, or is this simply a terrible Oakland defense, a terrible Oakland offense, and a game where Baltimore probably throws it even less than they did last week because they just won't have to? I wonder what your take is here on what we can expect from Lamar Jackson.
Well, I mean, let's, you said it was the RPO. This was the RRRRRR. Oh, that's really what it was. Okay, he wasn't good throwing the ball at all. He's got a ways to go to be an NFL quarterback. He was Tim Tebow. That's really what he was. You know, and as they won the game, so Matty had 117 yards rushing, but he was Tebow personified again. He's got some work to do to learn how to throw the ball in the NFL. First thing that comes to mind is John Brown, Willie Snead, Mike Crabtree. You can leave them on your bench. Probably want to go in another direction because you just don't know how many passes are going to be there. Oakland is a poor defense. You know, poor, pathetic, bad, terrible, whatever adjective you'd like to use there. They're bad. So I understand it hurts not to be able to start these guys, but I'm leaving the wide receivers on the bench. Lamar Jackson's not in my top 12. Not that far out of it either, because I think he'll run for a ton again. If you can just get him one touchdown, if he had one touchdown last week, rushing or passing, had a 20-point week. I mean, in his first NFL start, that's pretty damn good fantasy-wise. And I expect him to get that this week, either running or passing. I don't know if he's going to run for 117 again. That's asking an awful lot, but 60 to 80 is minimum that I think he runs for. So he's certainly on my board to start. And I am starting him in a two-quarterback. So, yeah, two-quarterback league he starts for me. So he'll go for me there. And I easily, without a doubt, started him over Stafford last week and this week as well. So that's all. That's, you know, somebody who I'm not starting, who I am starting, Lamar Jackson over. The passing game, not interested in. I mean, the joke last week was, who the hell is Gus Edwards? Yes, I knew who he was, but, you know, not a lot of people did. Right. He sort of came out of nowhere. And the question really was, well, what happened to Collins? Had a touchdown earlier in the game last week, Dan. And then all of a sudden he goes away. And we didn't know why. There was really no report. We heard rumors that he had migraines. Now it seems to be the ankle injury is probably what limited him. Okay, well, if he's back this week, what does that mean for Gus Edwards? Edwards was a huge pickup on Fab this week, right? Some people blew everything they had. They spent it all. And I don't blame them. Don't blame you at all. You know, not too often a possible starting running back becomes available in week 12. But we don't know what his role is going to be. Is Collins back this week? Is he back to being the starter? Was Gus Edwards so good because of Lamar Jackson? You know, and Lamar Jackson is starting again. But what about next week if Flacco comes back? You know, so a lot of question marks here. Bottom line is, man, you'll be listening to a lot of pregame here to try and figure out who the starting running back is going to be tomorrow. Is it going to be Edwards? Is it going to be Collins? Is it going to be split? I'm not really all that confident in either one right now. And for Oakland, boy, we can pretty much just glance over Oakland, right? You don't want to start Carr. You don't want to start any of the receivers. The running backs, Martin's banged up as well. Could be a heavy Jalen Richard day if in PPR leagues, which I would kind of like a whole bunch. As far as that's concerned, I think he'll get more than his share of passes. Double-digit points wouldn't shock me at all. If he can ever get to the end zone, I think he could approach 16 to 18 points. But if Martin's out, even if Martin's in, I think Rashard's going to have a nice day tomorrow. I think he's a flex play.
Yeah, I like the Rashard call here as somebody off the radar from a DFS perspective. Simply, I'm not a huge fan of the term, but game script-wise, this seems to be where Baltimore should be trailing, and where Oakland should be trailing. I don't know that it's going to be a gigantic offensive game for Baltimore, but it just feels as though they're going to have a lot of short field turnovers, all those different things that should lead to potential high scoring or at least high deficit for Oakland, and thus having to have Rashard in there for the receptions and trying to move the ball, pick up first downs and the like. Baltimore wide receivers, you mentioned Jackson, you mentioned the play here. It's pretty crazy to see how much they're going to fall off in production. And John Brown, Crabtree probably is an intriguing one from a possession perspective, like somebody who can run those short routes, intermediate routes, and get open in the short field. But you're not going to see any vertical passing from Lamar Jackson. And you saw it in college. It's not as if he doesn't do it, but it's just against these defenses, it seems as though he's going to struggle, as George said. So I think John Brown and Snead, sort of your bigger home run threats, become afterthoughts as of right now, right? I mean, I don't see how they are in any way fantasy viable until Lamar Jackson proves that he's going to throw more than 10 times a game and throw more than 15 yards down the field. Do you see it the same way, George?
I do, and I think that's I never think that's a great thing. You know, one thing I've been critical of the Cowboy offense is that they don't attack the secondary. And if you don't do that, right, you're inviting the safeties up. So I think, Baltimore, even if it's something where Harbaugh has to go to Lamar, listen, you're going to throw this fly pattern, no matter what you're throwing it, but throw it 5 yards out of bounds. The idea is there, just let defenses know he can do it. Therefore, they have to, you know, keep those safeties off the line of scrimmage. They have to keep them backed up, make sure John Brown can't blow a top off of it. So that's one thing I would I think you have to do, and I think it's important to do. And for all NFL teams, I said I've been a huge, I guess, critical of Dallas for not doing things like that. They don't have Dak throw the ball into the secondary at all or throw the ball deep at all. You can't do that in today's NFL. You need to get those safeties off the line of scrimmage. So if that's one thing, you know, like I said, if I'm Harbaugh, you're not telling Lamar Jackson, you do this, but I don't want the ball in the field to play. You know, I just want them to know you can do it. Show some arm strength here. That's where I would go with this, just to get those safeties to back off here. But, yeah, John Brown, it's funny thing, out of all three receivers I just named, Snead would be the one I might start the most because he plays, you know, slot close to the line of scrimmage. He'll have a better chance to catch balls than either Brown or Crabtree will.
Makes sense, and I think one to keep an eye on, and one from an analysis perspective, start to see where Jackson throws the ball. Are they pushing that envelope a little bit? Are they challenging that idea at least a little bit, or is Harbaugh more than happy to just win the game and get to next week and figure out next week, not worry about defenses scouting their offense and going from there? So will be an intriguing thing to keep an eye on as the season rolls along. Let's roll along ourselves as we head towards the top of the hour. Don't forget, second segment next hour, we will open up the phone lines. We'll be happy to hear from you and take your questions on start sits, DFS questions, overall NFL questions, or what to do with your turkey leftovers. Happy to do that as well. 844-843-6879. Of course, you can tweet at us as well at FNTSY Radio. It's at Dan Stravert, at George Kurtz, the two most creative Twitter handles in all of fantasy analysis. Let's continue on here to, let's talk San Francisco, Tampa Bay. You mentioned Nick Mullins earlier. Oh, let me get your take here quickly. 42.5 over under with a minus 11 for Baltimore. Either number intriguing or too low and too high when it comes to the over under and spread respectively.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You mentioned it earlier with over unders. I love to bet the overs. I truly do, mainly because of what you said earlier. You could win that in the third quarter. I bet the over in the KC. I mean, most of us did. Not that there was any brain surgeon there, but in the Chiefs-Rams game, I had the overs. Over by third quarter, I'm celebrating. It's like 11 o'clock, exactly. 10:30. Celebrating. The under, you're right, man. You got to sweat that out to the end. Right? And especially in those last garbage time touchdowns where teams aren't playing defense anymore, there's always a problem there. So I enjoy betting the overs much more than the unders.
Let's continue on to our next contest, San Francisco, Tampa Bay, where we have one Nick Mullins, who's at 5,400 over on DraftKings in what has been the prime matchup on the season against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a Buccaneers defense that ranks 31st against the pass. 30th against the pass, 27th against the rush on the year, 31st overall in DVOA over on Football Outsiders, if you haven't checked that out before. It's a weighted defensive metric that tries to get rid of the variance of the schedule and figure out exactly how good or how bad a defense is. So it is small sample size because the entire NFL season is a small sample size. But we all know that Tampa Bay is bad on defense and thus has a high upside here for Nick Mullins coming off another start. This one against the Giants last week, which was not as good as his start against Oakland, but still viable. What do you go? 27-39, had a TD, did have two interceptions, stark drop off in his quarterback rating, but he jumps up here in what could be another big matchup. Do you have Nick Mullins as a streamer this week and somebody that you think has enough upside to be a good start in week number 12, George?
Well, he's certainly a streamer. Listen, Dan Stratford is a streamer this week against Tampa
Yes,
Bay.
He Everybody's damn right is.
Tampa's bad. I mean, it's just that simple. They're bad. No pass defense there. None, nil, nada, zero, zilch. Can't stop anybody. All right? It's a shame Pierre Garçon's not going this week. He might be in consideration here. Marquise Goodwin's certainly in consideration here. Nick Mullins is not in my top 12. Like, he's not. I already named the top 12 earlier. But, right. You know, I could see you, if you're looking for upside, starting him over some guys who are in the top 12. Deshaun Watson comes to mind. You think Watson's been kind of off lately, right? Not doing all that much. Plays Tennessee. No matter what you think about Tennessee, it's a pretty good defense there. Or this one that we don't see Watson going off on, where he's going to score 1,000 points. So I could see Mullins going over him. You know, I could definitely see that. I don't know if I could do Mullins over Wilson, you know, even Wilson without Doug Baldwin. I don't think I could pull that trigger. I don't think I can. But I can understand somebody looking for upside here because I think Mullins would offer that. You know, not that I think Mullins is great. I don't. I think this guy's eventually a quarterback, a backup in the NFL. Let's guess what he is. You know, but he's running it now because Garoppolo's out, and CJ Beathard is nothing special either. So they'll go with Mullins here. But he's got the best matchup tomorrow. I mean, we don't like the fact that West Coast teams come out to the East Coast play 1 o'clock games. It's generally not a good thing. But yeah, they may not win the game, but I think they'll score points. I do. I think this will be a pretty high scoring game, 31-28, somewhere around there. I don't think either defense can stop the other. So I think there'll be some points put on the board here. So Mullins, yes, would be in consideration for a streaming quarterback start. And in super flex leagues or two quarterback leagues, he's my second quarterback, no problem.
It will be a fun one to watch, and this is an interesting team. Obviously, you had Jimmy Garoppolo go down with injury to start the year. All of my best ball teams cried when that happened, but you do have Mullins coming forward here and potentially having a good story to end the year for the 49ers. A great matchup, one that I'm sure you'll see a ton of ownership from a DFS perspective. So if you think you're being Q-tier, you are probably not. I would check ownership percentages on sites that offer it, ownership projections, I should say. I'm assuming he's going to be one of the higher-owned quarterbacks on the weekend at 5,400 over there on DraftKings. What about the rest of this matchup? Obviously, you mentioned Winston earlier. San Francisco, not a great defense. You have O.J. Howard is out, so that makes Cameron Brate an intriguing play at 3,600. You have the obvious pieces from Tampa Bay with Evans and Goodwin. I think DeSean Jackson, is he still questionable or is he probable at this point?
There is no such thing as probable anymore, Dan.
Oh, that's right.
Got rid of that.
Right. Which is the
he is probable, but yeah, he's listed as questionable with a thumb injury, but he's going to play. So, we can all say whatever we want about Jameis Winston. He is a bad NFL quarterback. He is a good fantasy quarterback. That's really all that matters for us. That's all we care about. We care about fantasy. Jameis Winston is easy top 10 tomorrow. He might end up being top 5. Before all is said and done. San Fran, bad defense as well. Bad pass defense. So you're starting Jameis Winston tomorrow. I've got him, I think, at least three leagues. I drafted him in a lot of leagues. I expected what's happening to happen. And he starts for me, no problem. I'll take the two interceptions or whatever he's going to throw tomorrow because that's generally what he does. So I'm starting Jameis Winston. Cameron Brate is a gift at 3,600. You know, the problem is a lot of us are going to be doing it. Winston has proven before that he likes throwing to Brate, especially in the red zone. I'd be surprised tomorrow. Brate doesn't score. I think he scores tomorrow, so he's starting for me. The wide receivers, Evans, I'm starting him. DeSean Jackson probably does scare me a little bit. Fitzpatrick seemed to use him more than Winston does. So, and with the thumb injury, that's probably enough, certainly in DFS, to keep me away. You know, in redraft leagues, we'll have to see how that goes, depending on what else I have in my roster. Because I do own DeSean Jackson in a couple of leagues. I might have to put him in. Too good a matchup to sit him in. Adam Humphries and Godwin. Humphries was really hot, but that was with Fitz. Will it remain that way with Winston? We don't know. I'm leaning more towards Godwin. If I had to choose between Godwin and Humphries, I'm leaning more towards Godwin here. But really, in some ways, I'm thinking about not starting either one of them. Because I just don't know what Winston's going to do. That's one thing, the bad thing about changing the quarterbacks here. Peyton Barber, you need him to get to the end zone, but he's probably starting a redraft leagues for you. George Kittle goes, Marquise Goodwin goes, Matt Breida goes.
Kittle's one of those names that you hear over and over again in fantasy, and you want to see some high upside. This might be the week. He's had some obvious good matchups in the past, but he is highly priced over there on DraftKings at 6,200. He has had, multiple double-digit point outputs over on DraftKings, but I don't know that 6,200 for George Kittle. I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll talk DFS in the second hour. We're hitting the top of the hour now. Don't forget college football today at 10 a.m. Eastern. We're back with more here on Fantasy Sports Today after this. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz. Don't forget phone lines open up in the second hour and get at us on Twitter, FNTSY Radio.